Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of The Showcase, where we have binge-worthy, randomized episodes waiting for you to enjoy. Please let me know what you think about this episode in the comments on Spotify, or the other ways to reach out to me. Those can be found in the description. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, consider following, reviewing, and rating. All that really goes a long way in helping out the podcast. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
Carter's Pills present... Policewoman! Tonight, the case of the scheming bridegroom, based on an episode in the career of Lieutenant Mary Sullivan for 35 years on the New York City Police Force.
Lieutenant Sullivan?
Yes?
They told me to speak to you.
Oh, who are you?
Bianca Riazzo.
And what's on your mind?
Well, you see, I want to get married.
Oh, well, what you want is City Hall, young lady, not the police department.
No, I do not make myself clear.
Apparently not.
Well, you see, I want to get married, so I read the ad in the Lonely Hearts magazine. Oh, here, see this advertisement?
Oh, yes. Sounds like most of the others.
Oh, no, this one is different.
Then why don't you answer it?
I should like to, only I'm afraid.
Afraid? Afraid of what?
This man who looks for a wife. I think he's a murderer.
Before we continue with tonight's policewoman adventure, here is something we feel you should know about. If you're out driving and see a train coming, would you try to beat it to the crossing? Of course not. Then, friends, listen. Stop dosing your stomach with soda or alkalizers for indigestion if your trouble is irregularity. Instead, unblock your digestive tract for the real relief you want. For your real trouble is not in the stomach, but in the rest of the digestive tract, where 80% of your food is digested. And when the lower part gets blocked, food may fail to digest easily. Thus, for real relief, don't take soda or an alkalizer. You want something to unblock your lower digestive tract, something to clean it out gently but effectively. Help nature get back on her feet. Get Carter's Pills right now, because taken as directed, Carter's Pills gently and effectively unblock your digestive tract. This permits all five of nature's own digestive juices to mix better with your food. You get genuine relief from indigestion so you can feel really good again. Buy Carter's Pills at any drugstore, and let Carter's Pills unblock your digestive tract for real relief from indigestion due to irregularity. Now back to Policewoman, the case of the scheming bridegroom.
Clark.
Yes, Mary?
Earlier today, Bianca Riazzo came in to see me. It seems she works as a maid in an apartment on Fifth Avenue.
So?
Well, about 6 months ago, there was a cook in that house named Frida. Both girls began answering these lovelorn ads, you know, the ones that appear in certain magazines.
Oh, sure, sure. Wife wanted, you mean, so forth?
Yes. Well, Frida answered an ad and then left for California.
Yes, and I can guess the rest of it, Mary. The man who sent for her was a crook who wanted to cheat her out of her life savings.
Worse than that, Sergeant.
Oh? Murder?
Exactly. Now, Bianca gave me a full description, and I started calling the California police. I learned that a girl answering Frida's description was found dead in Newtown, California, about 6 months ago. Everything checks.
Did they catch the killer?
No. All they have are some fingerprints, which were left on Frida's handbag.
Well, how come Bianca came to see you today?
Well, last night she ran across another advertisement in this Lonely Hearts magazine. The ad was identical with the one that Frida answered.
Oh, he shifted his operations from California to New York.
Right.
Does Bianca know what Frida's intended look like?
Yes, Frida showed her a picture. That's all she knows.
Well, there's the matter of the fingerprint.
Yes, now, if I could get a sample...
Mary, don't tell me.
You're right, Sergeant. I need a husband desperately. So I'm answering that ad myself right away. Hello. Hello, Bianca. This is Lieutenant Mary Sullivan. Yes. I've received an answer. The man's name is Pete Milford. We have a date tonight at a bar at 2445 East 14th Street. You got that? Yes, at 8 o'clock. Now, I want you to come to that bar. If you recognize Milford, I want you to say, "Very hot tonight, isn't it?" You get it? Very hot tonight, isn't it?
Tell you, Murray, you kind of surprised me. I never thought you'd be such a pretty one.
Oh, Pete, you're not so bad yourself.
Like I was telling Uncle Shorty, don't mind if I get hitched now, and I don't mind if she's pretty.
You're Uncle Shorty. Who's he?
Well, he's my uncle on my ma's side.
Oh.
Before you and I can take the final steps, I guess Uncle Shorty's going to have to prove.
Yeah, say, Pete, when we get hitched, I mean, well... If and when we get married, where are we going to live, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, Mary. I got a hunk of farmland out west. The soil's not so bad, but needs improvements.
Well, why haven't you made them?
Got no money, Mary.
Well, do you expect to get any?
Well, I thought maybe the gal that I married, she'd have the money.
Oh.
Do you mind if I ask you, Mary, you going to contribute something?
When we get to... Well, I mean, if and when we get hitched, huh? Why, Yeah, sure I will.
Oh, I knew you were sweet, Mary. Hey, you know, I don't even have no picture of you.
Well, I got a little one here, Pete, if you'd like it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll get an enlargement made, huh?
Swell.
Let me see. It's in my bag somewhere. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Oh, that's mighty pretty, Mary. Yeah, it looks just like you.
Now, give it back to me.
Okay, but don't forget I want that enlargement.
Sure. Oh, look, Pete, there's a friend of mine, a girlfriend. Hey, Bianca. Bianca, come here.
Oh, Mary, imagine meeting you here.
I want you should meet a friend of mine.
Sure.
In fact, you might say he's almost my fiancé.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Bianca, this here's Pete Milford.
Pete Milford? Glad to meet you.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Can you sit down with us?
No, I must be going right away.
Oh, come on, sit a while, huh?
No, I can't. I'm not feeling too well. Very hot tonight, isn't it?
All right, Mary, give me the dope.
I've just got a few seconds now, Sergeant, so listen carefully.
Shoot.
That picture of myself on your desk.
Yeah?
It's got Pete Milford's fingerprints all over it. Now, I want you to develop the prints and wire the complete set to Commissioner Williams, Newtown, California. You got that?
Yeah.
Have him wire back a report.
Where will you be in the meantime?
Well, I've got to meet Uncle Shorty.
Who?
Uncle Shorty. He lives out on Jamaica Bay.
Now, cut it out, Mary. Mary. I know everyone in your family. There's no Uncle
I can't explain now, but after I see Uncle Shorty, I'll call you back.
Mighty likable gal there, Pete.
I told you I can pick him up, Shorty.
Now, will you two stop that man talk?
Well, I'm happy for both of you, Pete. If you want my blessing, you have it.
Gee, thanks, Uncle Shorty.
Say, when you planning to tie up?
Oh, pretty soon, maybe in a couple of days.
Well, then why wait? How about eloping tonight?
Yeah, never thought of that.
Listen, Pete, you're heading back to the farm after the wedding, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, then why don't you head out west tonight? I know Justice the Peace crossed the state line. He'd marry you in a minute. Then you go on the farm.
Oh, Pete, that sounds so romantic.
Yeah, I guess I like that idea. Only, how do we do our traveling?
I got a station wagon, ain't I? Look, Mary, you head back to your house and get ready. Then come out here to Jamaica Bay. Around 8 tonight, I'll get the car in condition, take you and Pete the parson.
Well, that sounds fine, only I think we'd better make it tomorrow night. You see, Pete here, he's going to need some money for his farm. And, well, I got the money for him, but... Except it's in the bank, and that's closed now.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah, in the morning I'll draw the money out. What do you got to say to that, Pete?
Mary, all I got to say is that things are working out mighty fine.
Hello, Sergeant. This is Mary Sullivan.
Where were you all day yesterday, Mary?
Well, just so happens I was out at Jamaica Bay, and, oh, by the way, I'm going back there tonight. You see, Pete Milford will be with me tonight, and, I expect the payoff.
What?
Yeah, now listen. The address is 47 Front Street. You got that?
Yeah.
It's way out in Brooklyn. It's a lonely spot, just the house and water. That is, in case you're interested.
Well, sure, I'm interested, but listen, Mary... I've got news, too.
Oh, you have? Go ahead.
Got a report from California this morning.
Well, don't keep me in suspense.
The fingerprints found on the dead girl are not Pete Milford's. Mary. Mary, you still there?
Yes. See, I'd kind of expected something else.
Yeah, I know you did. Still going to keep that date with Pete?
Yeah. Oh, this is a setback, I admit, but I can't drop Pete until I'm sure.
It's nice out here near the bay in the twilight, ain't it, Mary?
You know, I thought your Uncle Shorty was going to be waiting with his car.
Uncle Shorty went down the road for a while, pick up some tools.
Oh.
I'm kind of glad we're alone.
Yeah?
Because we're going to be married. And I think there's something you ought to know, Mary.
Oh, what's that, Pete?
Well, you see, I'm not much for book learning, Mary. In fact, I can hardly read and write.
Well, I wouldn't hold that against a man. Wait a minute. You say you can hardly read or write?
Yeah. I hope it makes no difference.
Then who put that ad in the magazine and answered my letter, huh?
Oh, well, that was my Uncle Shorty's doing.
Now, Pete, listen to me carefully. Did you ever advertise for a wife before?
Huh? No.
You didn't advertise 6 months ago, get an answer, and ask the girl to come to California?
No, not me. I ain't never been in California.
What?
Oh, you can trust me, Mary.
Well, now, Pete, I've got something to tell you. You see, I happen to be a policewoman.
What?
And I want to know the truth. Were you in California 6 months ago?
No, Mary, not me. My Uncle Shorty was, but not me.
Don't you know enough to keep your trap shut?
Uncle...
Keep your hands up, policewoman. You know too much now.
Very smart scheme you cook up, Shorty. 6 months ago, you placed an ad in a magazine under your nephew's name. It was answered by a girl named Frida. She came out west, and you murdered her for a savings.
Save your breath, copper.
You knew the blame would point to Pete.
So what? I'll kill you both and blow this town.
We have other ideas, Shorty.
Oh. Fire. Out cold, Sergeant.
Yeah. Lucky I didn't forget the address of this place. I was right outside. I saw and heard it all. Hey, is that the guy who's been courting you?
Yeah, that's me.
Now, Pete, looks like you lost a wife.
Yeah, but we caught a murderer.
In just a moment, Mary Sullivan in person will tell you more about tonight's policewoman case. In the meantime, Does your underarm deodorant really protect you and your clothes from offending others?
Or are you half safe?
Or are you half safe?
Don't be half safe. Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure. No other deodorant tested. Only Arid stops your perspiration and deodorizes you so completely yet so safely. Only new wonderful Arid protects you these three ways. One, Arid really protects you from offending. Two, Arid really protects your clothes from offending and from stains by stopping perspiration. Three, creamy Arid is safe for your skin and clothes. Gentle, antiseptic. More nurses use Arid than any other deodorant.
Don't be half safe.
Don't be half safe.
Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure. And now, here is Mary Sullivan.
Pete Milford was found to be the innocent dupe of his uncle and released. Uncle Shorty was executed for the vicious murder he committed. This is the last program of our current series, and I want to thank my many listeners from coast to coast for their kind letters of interest, and hope they've enjoyed the show as much as I have. Until we meet again on the air, this is Lieutenant Mary Sullivan saying au revoir.
Thank you, Mary Sullivan. This program, as well as all other programs of the series, was based on an episode in the career of Lieutenant Mary Sullivan for 35 years on the New York City Police Force. This is Dick Dunham speaking. In the dramatic portion of tonight's policewoman case, leading roles were played by Betty Gard and Walter Vaughn. Policewoman is a Phillips H. Lord production. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery, adventure, and intrigue.
All right, sailor. Havana, Cuba, where we started from, where we get off. Out.
How long can you keep it up, Slade?
Come on, off the boat.
I said, how long can you keep it up? You've been sore ever since we left Key West. So we didn't meet him, so we didn't pick up his cargo.
Look, sailor, a guy named Scarn sends us a wire. He says, meet him in Key West, move his cargo. I didn't want to go, you wanted to go.
All right, and Mr. Scarn and whatever he wanted us to bring to Havana weren't there. But we had a boat ride to Key West and back, you and me. That's nothing, huh?
Come on, sailor, let's get off the boat. Here, I'll help you.
I don't need any help. What are you angry about? The money we didn't make?
No, it was time away from Havana. But I didn't have to be away from her.
You talk about Havana like it was a woman.
Do I?
How do you talk about me behind my back?
Walk ahead of me and I'll think of something.
There's your Havana. A cockfight.
Come on, let's take a look, sailor. How's your bloodlust today?
Oh, let's get out of here.
Consider it, sailor. Two birds with steel spurs slashing each other to pieces. Let's pause and cheer.
Come on.
Oh, let's watch for a while. People get to enjoy this sort of thing. Let's find out why.
I don't want to find out why. I'll see you back at Shannon's place.
All right. Okay, let's go.
You get a bang out of watching that?
Well, it gives me a chance to get bitter. Makes me an honest man.
Por favor, senor, senorita.
Huh?
The cockfight disgusts you, huh? Si, your tastes are too delicate, or perhaps...
What's this slate? A new way to cadge the Yankee dollar?
Or perhaps the Yankee merchandise.
The lady asks you what this is, amigo. Who are you?
Permit me to tell you the story of my life. I am a poet.
I guess that's worth a dollar. Give him a dollar, Slate.
What are we, patrons of the arts?
Permit me to refuse the money. Permit me to return to the matter of the Yankee merchandise you have brought from Key West.
This is a man with a problem, Slate.
You are the people from the boat, the Bold Venture.
We're the people from the boat, the Bold Venture.
Now it rhymes. Nice going, sailor.
Then it is a simple matter. Since you are the people from the boat, it is simple. We will make arrangements for the removal of the merchandise.
Now look, Shelley, my...
Mario. My name, permit me. That is my name.
Mario, sure. I forgot, my memory's a little shaky.
Mine too.
Hers too. So we're having a tough time remembering what this is all about. Slower reading, huh?
Are you trying to be clever, mi amigo? Or perhaps you have pleasure in tweaking my patience? The merchandise, permit me, but the merchandise. It is a matter of life and death. When shall we remove it from your boat?
The poet only knows one poem, say.
Yeah. Wave him goodbye.
A fond farewell, Mary.
But it is a matter... You cannot. The merchandise, it can mean life, it can mean death. You cannot refuse about the merchandise! The merchandise!
If you want to be happy and lead a king's life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Therefore, from a logical point of view, marry a woman uglier than you. A pretty woman makes a husband look small, and then he very often falls his downfall. Therefore, from a logical point of view, marry a woman uglier than you. Ah, Lady Sailor, Mr. Slade, why you come back so soon to King Moses? Because you love me?
Why else, King Moses?
I tell why else. Because on trip to Key West, something sour must have turned more sour. Am I inevitably correct?
You are inevitably correct, King Moses.
You come back to make King Moses sloppy with happiness, Mr. Slate. Therefore, order me about.
Bring us something to eat, King.
Oh, an ecstasy, a joy, a frenzy, a kick.
Bring us something to eat.
Right now, Mr. Slate.
You really do love him, don't you, Slate?
Uh-huh. Like he was my own.
How long does it take for someone to be your own?
Ah, that depends. Ready with the food, King?
Ready. Yours, Mr. Slade. Yours, Lady Sailor. You talk, I smile inside myself. I get my guitar, I got song for you.
Sing it, King.
A lady approach who waits for Slade. A lady so handsome no one can hate. A lady who in hotel did register. A lady who bring joy, maybe despair.
Pardone me, Senor Shannon, but I think perhaps you were looking for me. For Bibi. No, Senor?
Well, I don't know you, but I think perhaps I was looking for you. For Bibi.
Slate.
I want to explain something to you about the hotel business, sailor. I am what is known as a mine host. That comes in two parts. Mine and host. Sit down, Bibi.
Gracias. Still you have not answered my question, Senor Shannon. You look for me?
I look for a lot of things. Why particularly for you?
Because you are the man who brought his boat into port only a little while ago.
Oh, the lady wants a boat ride. Why don't you try the nearest tunnel of love, Miss Bibi?
This is included in the price we must pay for the merchandise?
No, Bibi. I throw that in for free.
Now, wait a minute. You said merchandise, Bibi. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Bibi, the gentleman posed a question. Will you answer the gentleman's question?
You know very well what it is we want.
Sure, sure, but let's hear it from your own red lips.
Now I understand. It's a matter of more money, huh? Well, we expected it, and we despise you for it. But we will pay it. I have room 6A. I will wait for you there. But give me 10 minutes to arrange for more money. When I pay your price, there will be no more delay. Is it final? It is final.
Now, let's see, 6A, she said.
That's what she said, Slate. That's just what she said.
You know, Sailor, I think I can handle this alone. Why don't you wait for me downstairs, huh?
Because I'm afraid of the dark. I cry in it.
That's what I thought.
Now you know. Slate, that noise. It's already happened to us once today.
Well, maybe the little lady's a bookie for game cock fights. Hey, let's go.
Slate, look. Look. Her face. Her body.
Yeah. Slashed to ribbons. Slashed to death by a gamecock.
Slate. Oh, Slate.
Now, how do you like Havana, Sailor?
Mrs. Slate. Mr. Slate.
Mr. Slate is wearing out his office floor, King Moses. Tell me, I'll tell him.
The police have made a farewell to the front door, Lady Sailor. They are 5 minutes gone.
Thanks, I'll tell Mr. Slate.
You want anything I can do for the after the police occasion, Lady Sailor? You, Mr. Slate?
No, I'll call if we want anything.
My guitar and me in hammock outside. You open the window and whistle for King Moses. If you want something.
Slate. Slate. What are you trying to build? All right. I don't blame you, Slate. I know. It's hard to believe.
What's hard to believe? Beautiful woman killed by a fighting bird. A bird with steel spurs on it.
Oh, Slate.
And at my hotel. Girl locked in a room in my hotel with a bird bred to slash for blood. I don't like cops in my place. Cops are for the tourist trade, not...
Is that all that bothers you? The fact that the police were here?
What's it to you what bothers me? I didn't ask for your questions. I'd ask for you.
All right, Slate, all right.
Kind of a jerk am I, anyhow? A man tells me to take care of his daughter. So I take care of his daughter. You. What am I? Out of my mind? I don't need you hanging around here, Sailor. I don't need anything about you. I got along great before...
Before my father died? What do you want me to do, Slate? Leave?
Well...
Sit down, Slate. You're sweating.
It's a trick I know. It's hot, so I sweat.
You want me to fan you? I'll fan you. You like me to fan you, Slate? Like this?
Look at you. The way you're dressed. Jeans, the way your hair is. Man has to walk toward you to know you're a woman. Why don't you do something about your hair, Sailor?
What's the matter with it?
Other women with hair like that, they'd...
With hair like what? Like this? You can touch it, Slate. Touch it. Go ahead. Touch it.
Answer the door.
You answer it.
Yeah. Hey, it's the poet.
Tell him to come in. He can wave the fan.
An explanation for the events of this afternoon are in order. See?
Hey, well, don't make it tough this time, Mario. What are you trying to tell us?
A tragedy. The killing of the girl Bibi was a tragedy.
Well, what do you know about Bibi?
Bibi was the sister of my wife. She... Please, what time is it?
Hey, look, if you don't...
It's almost 2:30, Mario.
Gracias. Now, permit me. It is very wrong that Bibi is dead. A wrong that is part of an even greater wrong.
So help me.
What kind of wrong?
Like so. The merchandise you have brought. Those of us on an island you know, here in the Caribbean, those of us who wait for the guns.
Guns? So that's it. That's the merchandise. Guns.
Precisely. Perhaps there is a better way to purchase human dignity. But we do not know of it. We need those guns.
And you think we have the guns for your revolution?
Of course. Like so. You came with the boat.
Oh, permit me. I will answer it. A compatriot I am expecting. He is to meet me here.
Mario! Slate! Help him! He's shot.
Yeah. Yeah, shot dead. Like so. To Bold Venture, our stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
A lady, she come to Shannon's place, a delicate figure and clothes of lace. Then the lady, she died in Shannon's place. A gamecock with spurs, he slashed her face. A poet, he came to Mr. Slate, make big apology for being late. He explains his wants to Mr. Slate, but bullied in heart bring him poor to stay. Mr. Slade, he turned to Lady Sailor. He says, you know...
That's enough, King.
Do I call the police again, Mr. Slade?
No. Two people die in my place, that makes it personal. I like that poet.
You're not always a real tough man, are you, Slade?
I said I like that poet.
And that girl, Beebe?
And that girl, Beebe. What about her?
Did you like her, too?
She had a problem. She came to me for help. She died.
My father said you'd be a man like that.
Why don't you get out of here, Sailor? Why don't you go back to the States? Look at the mess. I'm in it, you're in it. Why don't you leave, Sailor?
You don't know, do you?
Mr. Slate.
Yeah, what do you want, King?
Here are the dead gentleman's papers from his pocket.
Oh, let's have a look. Mario Pavana, 64 Avenado Lorca.
We're going calling, huh, Slate?
When a man like Mario dies, somebody's got to tell somebody because somebody might want to know.
I would. I'd want to know.
Let's go to Avenida Lorca, Sailor.
Yes? What is it you want, senor, senorita?
We come to...
Is it about Bibi? My sister, Bibi? You have come to tell me of her death. It has already been revealed to me.
Well, just a minute, senora.
I am called Celestine. Will it not be easier for you so?
Yeah, easier. If you're Bibi's sister, then the poet Mario... Mario...
He's my husband. Yes, a poet and a husband. I am fortunate, am I not? You are friends of Mario's?
Yes. Friends. Sailor, I can't do it. You tell her.
Thanks loads. Senora Celestine, your husband...
What is it of my husband? What is it?
He's dead. Okay, Sailor. How long can you take to tell a woman her husband's dead?
He said he was going to the waterfront to write me a verse. A little verse. Who are you? Are you of the police?
We're Mario's friends. We want to find his murderer.
It will not bring him back.
Mario was telling us something before he died. About a revolution. About guns.
Mario was to me a man who loved me. Who wrote little verses for me. Of this other Mario that you speak, I know nothing.
Who would?
Senor Etienne Parada, maybe? Senor Etienne spoke often with Mario, late into the night, while I slept. I would bring them food, and then leave them to talk among men.
Where would we find Senor Etienne?
He has a villa, 17 Avenida Cuarteles. I think there is nothing more for us to say to each other. Adios, friends of Mario.
Come right in, senor, senorita.
Is your name Etienne?
No, senor. I am the butler.
Where's Etienne?
In the auditorium with the rest of the guests. There is a concert. This way. In here. I will leave you. Adios.
Some concert.
That girl, the way she's dancing, Slade. She's wonderful.
Yeah, real authentic. Am I being rude?
Yes, yes, you are. Can't you see that girl's trying to express herself?
I'm your host. My name is Etienne. This way, please.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Celestine called. She told me to expect you.
Did she tell you about her husband?
About Mario? Yes, yes. Did you two kill him?
How's your record, Etienne?
Not flawless, senor. In here, por favor, this room. Pepe.
Hey, what is this? Who is this guy?
These are the ones, Pepe. The man and woman we have been waiting for. Now, senor, you will tell us. Why have you come to Etienne?
Because I don't like my hotel to be loused up with dead bodies. First a girl was killed and a poet. Would you know why?
Yes, yes, I would know why.
Who are you, Etienne? Why should you know so much?
It does not embarrass me to say that I am a patriot. You see, Bibi and Mario were revolutionary. They were killed by our enemies.
This we know.
They were killed to prevent them from taking guns across the Caribbean to our islands. The guns, they thought, were on your boat. We shall proceed without Bibi and Mario.
The man is talking like he's got the guns anyhow, Slate.
See, we have them. They came on another boat, not yours.
Well, use them in good health. Let's go, sailor.
Wait, senor.
I knew it. Peek over your shoulder, Slate.
I just did. Question, what's the caliber of the gun Pepe has in his hand? A 32 or a 38?
Looks like a 32.
It's a 38. You will help us, then.
Help you do what?
We have the guns, you have a boat. It's necessary to have both to get the guns to my island. Besides, I prefer not to have you roaming the streets of Havana until we have disposed of the weapons.
Who wants to roam the streets?
Me, Daddy.
Por favor, senor, move quickly. There is a great need to hurry. You admire the view, senor, eh? This cliff that screams down into the sea, or perhaps senor is afraid of such height. But the view is magnificent, no?
The guns are nice, too.
You have exquisite taste, senor. In guns, in boats, and
In me?
Precisely, senorita.
See how wrong you can be, slave? The man said that you had...
Get off it, Andy Etienne. What do we play now?
Oh, no play, senor, I assure you. Hard work. Pepe is below in your boat waiting for the guns. You will see that he gets them. Then you will take us to our destination on your exquisite boat.
You mean I lug them all the way from this cliff down to the boat?
Not quite so hard, senor. You see, we are prepared. A cargo net, winch. You place the guns in the net, then lower them to Pepe. Quick, simple.
Like pie. It'll be like pie, won't it, Slate? I'll help.
No, senorita, no, no. You will simply stand there because you will inspire the senor to magnificent effort. You may begin, senor.
So what happens when we're through here?
You will be killed.
Ask a silly question.
No, but it's so easy for you. You have but to die. Me, I have to commit a murder.
My heart bleeds for you.
Thank you, senorita. That's enough, senor, for one load. Lower the winch.
Aquí, Juan. Aquí.
Sí, Celestine. Celestine.
We're glad you're happy, Celestine.
Yeah, we're glad. Thanks for saving our lives. It was messy, but thanks.
My heart is filled with kindness for you both.
We'll drink to your heart filled with kindness in Havana. Tell your boy to take that gun away and we'll go.
You were so kind to come and tell me of my husband's death. I want to do something gracious for you.
In Shannon's place. Do something gracious for us in Shannon's place.
I will not permit one to kill you. You will die as suicides.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Tell us about killing people, Celestine. Were you born that way, or did it come on you all of a sudden?
They tried to make a revolution. You were foolish enough to stumble into it. It is a pity you stumbled into the wrong side.
You and Juan here are the right ones.
You are all alike. Poets, revolutionaries, adventurers. All with the intellect of trained fleas. Bibi, Mario, Etienne, Pepe. Oh, yes. Pepe is dead also. Juan took care of it.
Bibi was your sister. Mario.
They were fools. They are happier dead. Now walk. To the edge of the cliff. Walk.
You happy now, sailor? You real happy?
What?
You came to Havana. You got what you came for, huh? Excitement, romance, a tropic moon, people killed.
You gone crazy. What are you talking about?
What you wanted, isn't it, sailor? That's why you came to me, because it was empty for a girl like you back there from wherever you came from. Real empty.
Why you...
Don't slap me, sailor. I'll break you in two.
No one! No, do not put your hands on him. Leave them alone. Just keep the gun in his back. They will kill each other.
Sailor, watch it.
You watch it. He's got a gun in your back.
Have a gun in my back.
One! Careful, one! Careful!
The gun.
Get it, sailor. Pick it up. Now you, Celestine.
You let me go.
Don't struggle, Celestine. Relax. Enjoy yourself. I'm a tender guy. I'm taking you back to Havana.
Fool! Take your hands off me. Let me go.
Celestine, I'm holding you real tight till the Havana police take you away from me.
You hold her that tight, she's not going to be in any condition for the police. So what about Juan?
Got a gun in your hand, haven't you, sailor?
Oh, sure. Sorry. I forgot for a moment.
Well, get with it, sailor. Keep that gun pointed at Juan till we get back to Havana.
Then what?
And Shannon's place. Better back there. I want you with me.
How do you like it, Slate?
Like what?
Dancing with me.
It's all right.
I'm wearing a dress now.
Yeah, I noticed.
And my hair. You like it this way? You like my hair this way, Slate?
Let's get out of here.
I like it here.
Come on, let's go.
Go ahead. I'll find somebody who likes to dance.
I said come on.
Why?
Well, there's a breeze outside.
What's a breeze got to do with it?
I want to see what it does to your hair.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Adventures with Admiral Byrd. Episode from the breathtaking career of one of America's greatest explorers. And again we present, in person, Admiral Richard E. Byrd.
Greetings, adventurers, young and old. One of the most popular events of our second Antarctic expedition was the weekly program broadcast by a leading radio network to us from the United States, called the Mailbag. In this program, an announcer would read the men's messages from friends and loved ones, business messages, and so forth. News from home was often humorous, sometimes sad, but the system had its drawbacks. Sitting in the mess hall before the loudspeaker of our radio, all could hear a message intended for the ears of one. Often enough, this resulted in a decided reddening of the ears in question. Certainly, a message soon became camp property, and words written at haste came back often during the year 1934 to haunt many an innocent explorer. Today, we might find it fun to look into one of the weekly sessions with the Mailbag, broadcast from the United States to Little America on the other side of the world.
Hey, Seaman! Seaman! What's up, Dusty? What's the matter? Mailbag tonight. Are you coming?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not expecting any messages tonight. I got some work to do on the tractors with some of the boys. So
well, drop it, Demas. Drop it. As a personal friend, I advise you not to miss it.
Yeah? And look, Dusty, what are you cooking up now?
Nothing on you, Demas, I promise. But it'll be a nice earful. You know the way Carboni makes me eat out of a cold frying pan when I'm late for dinner?
Huh?
Well, tonight, I'm gonna fix his wagon, Carboni.
Say, if you get in wrong with the cook...
Oh, though, don't worry, he'll never know. Now, look, here's what I did. I got a friend in the States, see? And he got a...
Give us this day our daily whale blubber.
Hey, terrible, Slosback. Whatever this mess is.
Oh, I don't know, Dusty. After a day in the open, you're just about ready.
What's the matter, Dusty? Huh? Feel me. Don't you like it? Well, Carboni, the meat's good, but the preparation, a little of this and a little of that.
Now, listen, Dusty. Keep it up, and I'll stick you to the camp. Well done, the same night.
Oh, happy camp. It certainly would be a change. Oh, I say, mailbag tonight.
I wonder if I got any messages.
Mm, yeah, that's right. Hey, fellas, eat up fast, fast. We got to get this joint cleaned up in time for the mailbag broadcast. Hey, hey, Dustin, come in and shut the door. This ain't Palm Beach.
Okay. No need to get huffy, Carboni, my man.
There it is. We'll be on in a minute.
Just as soon as we get to station. 25 seconds. Need any help in the kitchen, Chef?
On your way, Scott. I'm supposed to get the sanitary.
Quiet, quiet, quiet. Here it comes.
Hello, Little America.
There
this is Connected in New York calling. Again, we're happy to present the weekly mailbag. You, thousands of miles from the comforts of home, we send our greetings.
And remember last week that asbestos line letter Joe got? He hasn't been able to face anybody in camp since.
We're pleased to be able to do this small service for you who are serving the cause of science in the name of your government, who are pushing back the last frontiers on the face of the earth, facing a relentless, frigid wasteland with courage and high spirit. And now, without further ado, we bring you the words of the Pope.
Back get out now.
The mailman. Our first letter is from Topeka, Kansas, addressed to Mr. Al Carboni, the
Carboni!
My dear Mr. Carboni, or would you rather I called you Al? I've heard so much about you and read about you in the papers. I feel as if I knew you a long time. I'm 45 years old, fairly attractive, with brown hair, brown eyes, and I know you'll like me when you meet me. I've always considered a man who cooks a very brave man. When you get back to the United States, I'd like very much to meet you. The letter is signed, Letty Lorda.
I don't know about Letty Lorda.
The next letter on our list is also Mr. Al Carboni from Dover, Delaware. Al Carboni, some of your friends have written to me that you are looking for a wife. That's the untimely departure of my late lamentable third husband, who died of Tulmaine. But of course, he didn't know how to cook. I am 38 years old and have only one child by my second husband. The boy is only 8 years old and would adore you, I'm sure. I have $8,000 in the bank and some real estate my first husband left me. Only the people who want to live here are awful slow paying the rent. Maybe if you were on hand to help collect the money, since you're a big, strong man, we could do better with it. Please thank Mr. Dustin for giving me your name.
Now, wait.
Dustin's afraid to come in and eat. He wants to know if all's forgiven.
No. Oh, no. It ain't all forgiven. If he shows his mug around here, I'll have it stewed for dinner.
Ah, Carboni. Can't you think a joke? What kind of a marine are you?
Now, listen, you. I can take it as good as the next guy, but Dusty stepped over the line once too often. I did a kick when he was night watchman, did I? The time he woke up my section with a fire siren, howling, the various bus routes from the mainland.
Well, it was only a joke to get
only,
the guys out
of there. Yeah, only what? We all hopped out of bed, scared stiff, and Donnie pulled our pants off.
Hey, what's for breakfast, Chef?
Clattle, slapback. Tell that guy he better not show his face around here until I cool off.
Uh-oh. Who's that, Al?
That's it. You got half the women in the United States waiting for me, telling them I'm looking for a wife.
Well, what are you kicking about? I think I'll have to ask him to do the same for me.
See, Carboni, Dusty really did you a big favor.
No, not the old head that's got after me, he hasn't. Dear Mr. Carboni, since my late lamentable third husband died, it's an international.
Well, why are you stewing? Would you mind ladling out my scrapple? You know, the food's bad enough here, but I'd like to tease my appetite with it.
Sure, yeah. Don't choke on it, Slapback.
Not even a few gagging noises?
Yeah, go and see it. I got some choking to do you. You're too famous.
You mean Dusty's got to go hungry?
Listen, I ain't stopping for meeting. But I ain't saying what'll happen when he shows up.
Listen, Al, you're making a big mistake. You ought to let bygones be bygones. You're really not making the most of your opportunities.
What do you mean?
Now, listen. Look, Seamus, can we trust you?
Well, no murder or mayhem.
Oh, no. Nothing like that, I promise.
Yeah? I ain't promised nothing, Slapback.
Well, this will satisfy even you, Carboni. Now, listen. Demas, you go tell Dusty that Carboni's willing to forgive and forget, see? In the meantime, this is what you do, Al. Go out and get...
Hey, Demas. Demas, is it free?
Huh? Oh, sure. Come on in. Come on, he won't bite yet.
Okay.
Okay, Dusty.
Come and eat. Well, I'd be more beaten for an old pair of pants.
Now, I can take a joke. Besides, I'm responsible for your health, in a way. No sense to bearing a grudge.
Now,
shake hands and call off the feud, will you?
Well, I'll do better than that. Here, save you some scrapple for breakfast. Eat hearty, boys.
See, that's swell. Now you're talking. Give me that stuff, will you?
I think I'll move my coffee over and join you, Dusty. I hate to eat alone.
That's well.
You want more, Dusty? Just holler. I'll be in a kitchen.
Okay. Hey, you know, that guy's really a good sport. Here, let me dig into this, will you? Say, did you guys eat scrapple today?
Yeah.
Well, this is awful. It's greasy and flat.
Try some salt in it.
Did yours taste bad?
It was all right, I guess.
Well, mine was all right.
You know, Carboni's up to something. He put some axle grease in here, I'll bet.
Ah, go on, you nut.
For God's sake, don't let him hear you say that. You want to get him bad again?
Well, I don't know. Anyway, what harm can a little axle grease do me?
Sure.
I'll eat it. He won't get any satisfaction out of me.
No.
So what? Here he comes again.
Hurry, Dusty. You want some more?
No. I'm not through with this yet, Chef. It's swell. It's good scrabble, really.
Okay, well, I'll be around if you want any more.
Okay. Any more? That's a hot one. I'm gagging on this stuff now. Say... I will ask for some more.
He won't get a word out of me.
Good idea. If he did put something in his
ear. Sure. You'll fool him good. He'll think it didn't bother you.
Yeah, I hate to, but... Hey, Carboni, you got any more of that scrapple?
It's great.
Come in right up.
Everybody said it was very good today.
Sure it is. Sure, thanks. Boy, this is good.
You know, if I wasn't so full...
It's true. Well, see you around. I got to clean up now. Okay, see you later.
Wonder if I can dump this stuff out anywhere.
Don't be a dope. He's near the coffee urn. You know, he's got an eagle's eye. And now, here, wolf it down, just like you're enjoying it.
Yep. Guess I might as well. This'll teach him it doesn't do him any good to play tricks on me.
Yep, this... Holy pajamas, this is terrible.
How's it going, Dusty?
Want some more?
Well, I'm full up to my ears now, Carboni. Otherwise, I would.
Well, finished them both, didn't you?
Sure. Darn good, too. Yeah,
just goes to show. You can never be sure about those things.
Now, what do you mean?
Well, if you say it's good, it must be.
If I... But the funny thing is, I didn't think at first that it was such a good combination.
What?
Scrapple and castor oil?
And so it goes. High spirits and practical jokes. Perhaps as necessary as food for the men marooned in the South Pole, creating a civilization of their own. Join us in the next adventure with Admiral Byrd. The introductory narration was spoken by Admiral Byrd in person.
Isle of Night.
He's about 24 or so, dark with very black hair, and he's left his book, Analysis of Poisons and Snake Venom. Snake Venom. Well. I've begun to collect little facts from here and there about my fellow passengers on Wyden. There's the strange Mrs. Letter, and that musty cobra smell I detected in her cabin. The taciturn and Mr. Dick Stevens, I'm interested in him, too. And when the young medical student Renzinger left a book on poisons in my stateroom, I added him to the list of queer people by whom I'm surrounded. Being a blind man has certain advantages. People who know you can't see them don't trouble to prevent their thoughts showing in their faces. They forget that apprehension, concern, anger, and amusement are just as evident for the trained listener in voices. So I'm spending my time listening as the steamship Caprice sails towards the port of Aden. All I have to do is lie in a deck chair and wait. People come readily to talk to one.
Oh,
that's
pretty
tough, how morning, isn't it? Thank you. Very
pleasant. Miss Blazeway. What? Mind if I talk to that kid, Father?
Oh, by all means.
Thanks. Oh. I sit in palms around the deck equal to Mars. They're wrong. It's long down. Oh, it's gone a great spot. Oh, look, the captain can't sing.
No, I am, but I can hear. And you were singing like a bird in bathroom number 8 this morning.
That's smart. Oh, funny, I have a new hit. I'm not an honest woman. They sing it when I get to London. Oh, it's
sick. So you're an actress?
No, and I stuck some principal boy in the business, that's me. Been doing a cabaret season in Colombo. Boss forbade me from ever doing it again. So it's either time and a glass, you suppose, you fancy? This much? What a garbage, can you?
Oh, not just now.
You know what a boss, Becca?
I'm
sorry. I thought we'd just be rising tonight, this big guy. Sure, it's a high mad guy, can't tell you off like a street or three. There are people living in those parts. And a fear in your face. The doctor may. Couldn't be insured of arms, and that's just serious enough for me.
Now, what looks like an extrovert of you to Columba?
Brother, if you could see me, you'd know. I'm blonde and I'm pretty, and I've got the kind of figure that those girls with red silk.
Then, it was a man.
I'll say it again. You are smart. Could have been a man. That dog of yours. Are you cute?
That's scarcely the term I'd apply to.
Oh, well, enough, Tommy. I didn't know he was aboard, and I went smack bang into him in the passage, second day out. First, I thought I was having a hangover. What do you call it?
Dorothy.
Oh, it's easy, it's out there. Dorothy, Alice. It's the kind of a treat, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Where were you working in Columbus?
It's called the Silver Crescent, and it wasn't much fun. Some people expect too much of a girl. Oh, I was promised fancy, but I never got it. You can't trust those dark people. They don't think in the same way as we do.
Miss Blaisway.
Excuse me, what's the trouble?
Admit it, Miss Blaisway. There's no progress in your cabin. I suppose you might ask.
Well, maybe Abbott could be right in me now. Very well.
Thank you, ma'am.
Can't slice it away. Come here. Don't know that
No, why not open it up?
That's right. Why not?
Interesting news.
Yes, Arthur. No, I mean, just a note from a friend. I didn't know. I mean, it's a small world, isn't it? Never know you, mate.
Very true.
Look, I think I'll take a turn in the deck. You mind? I've got to think of the city, you know, getting too tight to myself.
Good morning.
You open up. The lady's scared. What was in that note to cause such a change? A friend, she said. A male friend.
Hello.
Hello, Tricia.
You didn't know I was here.
You're standing to windward. Your perfume.
I'm being subtle. You were having such an animated conversation with Miss Blazeway that I had to wait a suitable opportunity to claim you.
Lovely morning.
Oh, beautiful. The sun's quite hot. And the Indian Ocean is very blue and there's scarcely a cloud in the sky.
Bernard, I'm beginning to suspect your tricks. Where'd you get all that from?
The radio operator. I had to send the cable this morning.
Oh. Do you realize what you did a few moments ago?
What did I do?
You called me Tricia. The first time I've heard it for you.
Oh. Did I? Was it too tough?
I suppose it's not. No. There's that odd Mr. Stevens pacing the deck.
Why odd Mr. Stevens? I found him quite a pleasant young American. Though less talkative than the rest of the whole.
I don't know. He seems to be watchful.
Oh, good morning, Stephen.
Hello. Did you find your passport?
My passport?
Yes, I heard you've lost it. I was talking to the presser. He mentioned it when I asked if we needed them when we touched Aden.
No, it's not turned up. Good morning, Miss Hale.
How do you do, Mr. Stephen?
Pretty bad show, you know, losing a passport. Makes them kind of suspect. They don't attach a lot of importance to such things around here. I had it when I came aboard at Colombo. I think someone got down on it in my cabin.
It seems an odd thing for anyone to steal.
Yeah, doesn't it?
You're from Texas, Mr. Stevens.
You got it right first time, Mr. Mack.
You're a long way from home.
Well, I soon won't be. I'm heading straight back for America as soon as I make London. And I'm not looking back. No, sir, I'm going to hit New York like $1 million. $1 million.
You don't take to these?
That's okay for a time. Like getting off a chain stop. I mean, it's free and easy. That's what I like. Well, I'll do a few more miles on the deck, I guess. Find I can't keep still on this boat. Guess it's because I don't like being cooped up. I'll be seeing you, Mr. Mack. So long, Miss Hale.
Don't overdo it.
I won't.
I'm sorry, but I don't like him.
Oh, why not?
Just the way he looks at me.
He's probably been denied permanent company. He was known in prison, huh?
Prison?
Yes. I suspect that our friend has a criminal history.
Did he tell you?
Not directly, but he just suggested it.
Bernard, you really are phenomenal. I noticed nothing.
Well, you couldn't be expected to know that the word chain stop, which he used, is a term in vogue in American prison. Then he realized that and was quick to catch it up.
Yes. So he was. Oh, Bernard, look. There's land.
Oh.
I mean, there's a little brown smudge on the horizon. It's the Aden coastline.
Yes, it's been visible for 20 minutes.
Bernard?
And there's a mass of people at the rail on our left. I've been catching fragments of their conversation. They mentioned land several times. You see, you didn't notice because you've been intent on talking to me and in studying Mr. Stevens. You've been using all your senses at reduced capacity. I've been using my ears 100%. That's the difference.
Are you going ashore, Aden?
Yes, Starkey and I are going together. Would you like to come too?
Yes, please. I've never been there. I came round the cape on the way out.
Oh, you'll find it interesting. It's a customs-free port, you know.
What does that mean?
Pilgrim? American nylons are half the price they are in England.
Bernard? What an awful little boat. I'm sure we'll hit something.
Describe the Caprice to me. It must look magnificent back there.
It does. They've been doing some paintings since we left Columbus. It was bigger than any of the other ships in the bay. Her lights are beginning to come on. What time is she leaving, right?
At 10 o'clock. We must be on board by 9:30.
Oh, we're coming into the landing stage.
I'll help you up, then. Sergeant and I can manage. Now, off you get, now, and we'll make for the bazaar.
₹100.
₹100 for this scarf?
Nonsense.
No. Real Chinese silk. Shandong. Wonderful, wonderful for your wife. Madame, you see.
Yes, it's very beautiful.
But it is not Chinese silk. Shandong.
Yes.
Well, it was made here in Aden. A ram sandal. You always find the edges in your sandals. 20 rupees, not an animal.
50.
35, my last one.
40.
37, no more.
40.
Come on, Miss Mandel Rowe. Come on, Patricia.
All right. Okay. 37, but I am robbing myself, robbing my business. No problem.
All right. Here's your money.
Bernard, I can't accept it. What's that?
Something's happening outside the shop.
Yes, there's a car. There's some horrible man. Some man's broken away. Bernard.
Stop him. Stop him. Steve.
Steve. Oh, the poor wretch is coming in here.
Harvey, bring him down.
Call her, Harvey. It's all right. He's driven him against the counter.
Wonderful dog's body, yes.
Where is he? Where is that man? Let him through, please.
He's up a choice over again.
Ah, there he is. Now, you criminal. What an animal.
I'm afraid he won't let you approach him unless I give an order, sir. You were chasing after the man my judge's cornered. He robbed you?
Yes, tried to. My name is Stahl. Cornelius Stahl. I'm well known here.
Bernard Knight. And your Dutch, of course.
That is right. I am obliged to you, sir. Are you from the Caprice?
Yes.
I am passenger with her from Aden.
Ah! On Wydeck, perhaps?
I believe so.
Then that makes our number there complete. Now, I observe a native policeman coming at the moment of this crowd of any indication. You can give this man over to them.
The police? No, I will make no charges. Let him go.
In the Dutchman's voice, I detected a sudden note of alarm. Why, I wondered. Why did he wish to have no dealings with the police? This new passenger from Aden seemed interesting.
Eyes of Night. The story of the famous blind detective and his dog, Sparky. Written by Maxwell Dunn.
This is Jimmy Stewart with a welcome to the Hollywood Star Playhouse. Brought to you by the Bakers of America. Minutes of mystery, thrills, drama with Hollywood's finest writers featuring Hollywood's top stars. Brought to you by the Bakers of America through the cooperation of your baker. Hello there, this is Wendell Niles. In a moment, we'll bring you Act One of today's transcribed story, The Six Shooter, starring Mr. James Stewart. Friends, depend on your baker to help you serve better meals through bakery foods. Whether he's the baker in your bake shop, the baker who supplies your grocer, or the baker who calls at your door, your baker is the man who provides so many of the good foods that mean mealtime satisfaction for you and your family. Because almost every day of the year, very likely every meal of the day, you enjoy something that a baker makes. So for variety, convenience, economy, for nutritious good eating, count on your baker to help you serve better meals through bakery foods. And now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring Mr. James Stewart. carried slivers of moisture that cut into the boy's face as he rode along the edge of the creek. When he saw the yellow light from the back of the office, he pulled up and slid out of the saddle. Then he tied a wet bandana under his eyes and walked to the door.
All right, hi, both of you. Stay away from that shotgun.
Now, look here,
you
fella. You
get over to the safe. Better hurry up, mister. All right, now open it. I said to open it. All right, toss me that sack. Okay.
Hey, go up! I'm seeing you!
You... Now...
I had figured on going through Clay City. It was an hour out of my way, and I was already a day late to the Jefferson Ranch where I'd signed on for the roundup, but... When Scar started limping from a loose shoe, didn't have no choice. We had to head for the nearest blacksmith shop, so we turned north.
Mister, what's the trouble?
The horse losing a shoe.
Well, let's have a look. All right, raise it up, fella. Come on, boy. Yeah, it's split, mister. He needs a new one. Okay, boy.
Can you take care of it?
Oh, sure. Bring him over here.
Hey, what happened to Red, fella used to own this shop?
Went to Nevada chasing silver. I bought him out.
Yeah, you don't look very much like a blacksmith, huh?
Oh, I'm stronger than I look. Heavier, too. What do you think I weigh, mister?
Oh, I don't know.
Go on, take a guess. 120? 30?
Well, no more than that.
You a betting man, mister?
Oh, sometimes.
Well, I say I weigh over 130. If I don't, you get the new shoe for nothing. If I do, you pay me double. What do you say?
You got a set of scale?
Don't need no scale. What do you say, mister? Is it a bet?
Well... Don't seem to be no way of proving it.
Oh, all you got to do is lift me up. Now, you look like a man who can judge weight. What do you say?
Okay, all right, it's a bet.
All right, mister, just heist me. If you don't think I weigh more than 130, the shoe is free.
All right, I never tried to judge a man's weight before, but all right. There we go.
Well?
Oh, I'll be dog.
I'm packed solid, mister. Real solid.
You're packed tighter than a steer. You must weigh 150 pounds.
You see, what did I tell you? 158. The horseshoe's going to cost you money, mister, but you ain't the only one. Ever since I bought the shop, there ain't been a stranger come through Clay City but what he paid double for his first horseshoe. He ain't sore, mister.
No, that was a fair bet.
Sure it was. I told you how heavier than I looked. That's what folks call me, Heavy Norton. My real name's George, but everybody calls me Heavy. What's your name, mister?
Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Fella they call the six shooter? Well, doggone it. I've heard about you, mister. I've sure heard about you. Oh, would have recognized you if I'd have noticed your gun. Sure is fancy, ain't it? Hey, do you mind, showing it to me?
No. Here, catch.
Hey, real fancy. Just like Sheriff Schofield said. He says he's seen you fire six shots with it while Whitey Jackson was getting off his first bullet. That time down at Eagle.
Well, the sheriff kind of likes to build up a story.
Oh, he swears it's the truth. Here's your gun, Mr. Ponsett. Thanks.
Sure.
You was mighty quick in getting into Clay City. How'd you hear about it so fast?
To hear about what?
The holdup at the Fargo station last night. Is that why you come?
No. I was headed past town. I turned off because Scar got that loose shoe.
Well, now, ain't that a coincidence?
Fellow holds up the Fargo office, kills one man, maybe two, gets away with $5,000, and 12 hours later, you ride into town.
Well, got any idea who did it?
Nope, not a single solitary one, from what I hear. Like I say, the deputy agent was dead when they found him. Other fella, Fred Wilmer, a friend of his, got shot up pretty bad. Ain't done no talking yet. Doc says maybe he never will.
Did Sheriff Schofield take out a posse?
Nope, ain't nobody to go. Most of the men signed up for the Jefferson Roundup. Left town day before yesterday. Hear the Jefferson Ranch paying good money this year.
Yeah. You seen the sheriff this morning?
No, not lately. He might be over to his office.
I think I'll walk down that way while you're fixing up Scar.
Sure, Mr. Ponsett. That's a darn good idea. Sheriff Schofield will be real glad to see you.
Couple of doors this side of the sheriff's office, I saw the Wells Fargo sign nailed up next to a window. The place wasn't locked, so I went inside. One of the chairs was upset, and there was some damp stains on the floor. The cast iron safe against the wall was standing wide open, so I kicked it shut. Went out in the back stoop. There was some more blood on the steps, and then just red mud. Right at the edge, I saw the hoof prints. They trailed off along the side of the creek. Whoever made them headed west. The horse had been wearing one shoe different from the other three. A sharp rock must have cut into it sometime or other. Not enough to split it, you understand. Just enough so that the print left a jagged line, like fancy handwriting.
Find something, Britt?
Hmm? Oh, hello, Sheriff. I was heading your way.
Yeah, I just saw Heavy. He told me you was in town. Did you find something?
I don't know. You see these hoof prints?
Yeah.
Well?
Don't mean nothing. Trail gives out a mile or so down a creek fork.
Uh-huh. Has Clay City had any other trouble lately, eh?
No, not a bit. I guess any town's got to expect to hold up once in a while, though.
No, I heard it was a little more than that.
Yeah. That's right.
Fred Wilmer able to talk yet?
Afraid not. Doc said he'd let me know first thing he'd come around. Took him out to his ranch.
You been out there to see him since last night?
Wasn't no reason.
Well, it might be a good idea to be there, you know, just in case.
Thought maybe I ought to stick in town.
Oh, I don't think anything more is going to happen here, Ed. I'll get Scar. I'll meet you out at Fred's place. Huh?
I can handle this alone, Britt.
Oh, sure. I'll just offer to keep you company, Ed.
I'll meet you there.
He's all fixed up, Mr. Ponsett. Tied him up around the side so he'd be in the shade.
Thanks, Harry.
Did you find Sheriff Schofield? I told him you was in town.
Yeah.
You figure out anything?
Well, not so far.
Oh, you will. Sheriff's a good man. Why, you and him together, you'll get whoever done it.
No, maybe so. You're the only blacksmith around here, ain't you, Heavy?
Only one for 40 miles.
Uh-huh. You ever see a horse with a shoe that's got one jagged edge, left hind leg?
A lot of shoes got jagged edges, Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah, well, I'll show you what I mean. I ain't much of an artist. Now, here, it kind of looks a little like this.
Hmm. Seems to me I seen a shoe like that just the other day. Sure, I remember. Told him he ought to get a new one for it. Ben Schofield, that's who it was, just the other day.
Ben?
Yeah, the sheriff's kid. You know him, don't you, Mr. Ponsett?
Oh, sure. I ain't seen Ben in a couple of years, though.
You wouldn't recognize him if you did. He just sort of growed up overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he has.
Return for Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring Jimmy Stewart, in just a moment. And now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Schofield was sitting on Fred Wilmer's porch swing when I got there. Doc was inside with Fred, so I squatted down on the stoop and waited. About half an hour, the doc came out and told us we could go inside and see Fred. Fred was lying on a cot, breathing hard, and white cloth across his chest was stained pink, and his voice sounded like it was full of air.
We was just sitting in the express office talking, Sam and me. Didn't hear the back door open. Must have left it unlocked. Turned around, and there he was, holding his gun on.
Did you get a look at him, Fred?
Handkerchief over his face, Sheriff. I couldn't see nothing. Just the gun. He told Sam to open the safe. There wasn't nothing else he could do.
Sure, sure.
He took the money, walked over to the door.
Yeah?
Looked at us for a minute, and then shot. Didn't have no reason. He hit Sam in the face, and he hit me in the chest. He didn't have no reason.
Take it easy, Fred. Take it easy now.
Just like he enjoyed shooting at us. That's how it was, like he enjoyed it.
Maybe he was scared.
Oh, he wasn't scared, Sheriff. He didn't have no reason. Thought he killed us both. Then he started down the steps. I got my hand on the shotgun and let him have it.
You hit him?
I don't know. Maybe he gave a yell and rode off.
What kind of a fellow was he? He was young, old?
I couldn't see his face. Young fellow, I'd say, though.
How young?
17, 18, full grown.
Is he tall, short?
Medium. About the size of your kid head. About that size.
Got enough for you, Ed?
Yeah, that's enough.
You think you'll get him, Brad?
Sure, Brad. Sure. Sure. Come on, Ed.
Didn't have no reason to shoot, no reason.
Wasting our time, Brady's got a day's head start. He'd be 40 miles from here.
Well, not if he's shot up.
Now, you go on if you want to.
Well, you're the sheriff. You better make the arrest.
You ain't never been so particular before.
Well, maybe not, but this time I'm particular. You coming?
We don't even know where to start.
I thought along the creek. That's as good a place as any other.
It's a waste of time, Britt.
Oh, we got time to waste. Come on, let's go. We picked up the trail along the creek headed west. It wasn't hard to follow, and every once in a while we'd see a few drops of blood spattered against the shrub brush. About 10 minutes later, we came to a fork where Ed had said the trail gave out. Scar stuck his nose down into the water, and I looked around. Trail didn't give out. Turned south. I nodded in that direction. Ed didn't say a thing. Just followed. And about 5 o'clock, we stopped to eat. Ed built a fire, and I opened up a couple of cans of beans I had in my roll. Oh, you ain't hungry, Ed?
It's early for supper.
Yeah. Ed, I talked to Heavy before I went out to Fred's place. I asked him who had a horse that would leave a mark like the one we'd been following.
So?
And he said Ben did. Your son, Ben. I thought you ought to know that.
A lot of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark.
Fred said it was a young fellow.
It wasn't Ben.
Where is he, Ed?
Jefferson's ranch, working on a roundup. He left Clay City day before yesterday. Couldn't be Ben. There's a lot of wild youngsters in these parts, but Ben's a good boy. Couldn't be him.
You sure?
That mark don't mean nothing. Plenty of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark. You know that, Brick.
You had enough to eat?
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Moon came out. Thin, yellow. Not real bright, but enough so you can follow the trail.
About 3 miles, there wasn't no blood. He must have wrapped something around the wound. Wrapped it real tight. And then we found the bandage. A piece of shirt tail sopped through. For the next mile, he'd been bleeding a lot, worse than ever. And he was hit pretty bad.
Looks like it.
He couldn't have gone much further because I... Oh.
Hold it, Star. Ed.
Yeah.
Hold on. Over there in the gully, that cabin.
Yeah.
Whose is it?
Used to belong to Jake Levant. Died a couple of years ago. Ain't nobody living there now.
There's somebody living there.
Huh?
Out in back. There's a pony. Better go ahead on foot.
Red?
Yeah?
We're gonna take him alive, ain't we?
If we can.
We gotta take him alive, Britt.
It's Ben.
I don't know, Britt. Not for sure.
It could be Ben?
It could be.
Where's he been the last couple of days?
I don't know that neither. Had an argument with him 2 nights ago. He needed some money. He'd been playing poker and lost a lot.
$5,000's a lot.
I wouldn't give him money. Got mad, said he'd get it, himself. And I hit him hard across the face. I hit him twice. He started to hit me back. Then he walked out of the house. I ain't seen him since. I wish he had hit me back.
Now, we gotta get across that clearing, Ed. Over to that clump of trees.
He may see us.
Yeah, we'll have to take that chance. You ready?
Yeah.
You all right?
Sure.
We'll stay in these trees for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll rush them. Ain't gonna be easy to take him, Ed. Now that he's spotted us.
You ain't gonna kill him, Britt.
I ain't gonna let him kill me.
It ain't his fault, Britt. It's mine.
You know that ain't so.
No, it's the truth. It's my fault.
You didn't raise him to be a killer, Ed.
Maybe I did, Britt. I was the sheriff, seeing that everybody kept close to the line, seeing that everybody lived honest, especially Ben. I broke him, Britt. Broke him like you break a wild horse. I tried to take all the fight out of him fast. You know what happens when you do that to a horse? He gets tame, but the fight still there, and someday he turns wild again.
I'll rush him alone, Ed.
No. Stay here, Britt.
Well, Sam Norton's dead. Maybe Fred Miller, too.
Killing Ben won't bring him back. He's my son, Britt, my only son. You don't have no kids. You don't know.
I'm sorry, Ed.
No, we're going back to town.
Not without him.
We're going back. Now, you can outdraw me, Britt, but I'll still have time to get a shot off.
I'll try to get him alive, Ed. I'll try.
No, don't turn your back on me, Britt. Don't be a fool. Don't make me do it, Britt.
I wasn't being brave. I knew he wouldn't shoot. A man like Ed Schofield just don't change overnight. You can figure a man like Ed. That's what I thought, anyway. But I hadn't figured what would happen next. I haven't figured on him running out into the clearing, standing there in the moonlight, gray against the black sky.
Ben! It's me, Ben, your dad! Can you hear me, Ben? Britt Ponson's coming after you! Throw out your gun, Ben! Britt Ponson's coming! Now listen to me, Ben! It's your dad!
I saw him go down real slow, like his legs had buckled under him. I couldn't tell how bad he'd been hit. He rolled down a gully out of range, and I crawled forward. I pushed myself past a couple of rocks and head toward the back door. The kid was in the kitchen. I couldn't see him, but I could hear him moving around, going from window to window, looking out, waiting for me. I slid past another rock. I could run for the door or wait. The kid made up a mind for me. I slipped down fast, and the bullets nicked the rocks. The kid had good hearing. He knew I was right there. I took up my gun and waited. I knew he'd get nervous first. Young fellas always do. I wasn't so young. I could wait. It was more than 5 minutes before the door started opening. His pony knew I was coming, too. I started for the horse. I aimed at his leg. For a second, he stopped moving and just hung in midair like a hawk. And he sprawled forward out of sight behind a log. I raised up a little and hunched myself along the side of the cabin. Everything was quiet now. Even his pony. The moon went behind a thick cloud, and I came around the corner of the cabin. Suddenly, the moon came out again, just in time for me to see his 45, just in time to see him coming up over the top of the log. His revolver slipped out of his fingers, and I saw him trying to reach for it again. He couldn't make it. I stood up and walked over to the log. The kid was lying face down, gasping for breath, a little short gasps. He pulled himself onto the flat of his hands and then he passed out. I turned him over with my foot and I looked at his face. Ed? Ed?
Over here.
Where'd he get you?
In the shoulder. I'm gonna be all right. Britt, is he... Did you have to...
He ain't dead.
Thanks. I guess he didn't hear me calling to him. He didn't know who I was.
Ed?
What?
Ed, it ain't Ben.
What?
It ain't Ben, Ed.
You sure, Britt?
Yeah, this kid's got red hair.
There ain't no reason to lie to me, Britt. I ain't shot up bad.
I ain't lying. I knew it wasn't Ben while I was going up after him. I knew it.
What are you talking about?
Hey, just come to me. A man don't change overnight. Neither does a boy.
Well, if it ain't Ben...
Lots of tough kids in these parts. You said so yourself.
Where do you suppose Ben is?
Where you said, Jefferson's Ranch, working in the roundup. They pay good. Nah. A boy don't change overnight, Ed. Are you able to ride back to town?
Yeah, sure. I may have to take it a little slow.
I'll get the kid.
Britt.
Yeah?
You know something, Britt? I couldn't believe it was Ben neither. No, when he shot me. I just couldn't believe it. You know that, Britt.
I know it, Ed. I know it.
Jimmy, that's one of the most heartwarming, at the same time suspenseful, yarns we've heard in a long, long time. Thanks a lot.
Well, Wendell, when it comes to that thanks department, let's just be mighty sure we include Parley Bear, Herb Bygren, Bert Holland, and Bill Conrad, who played the sheriff. Bye.
Be sure to come back, Jimmy. In just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, we'll introduce Miss Diana Lynn, the star of next week's story on Hollywood Star Playhouse. Say, I wonder if your family weekends are anything like the ones at our house. You see, ours are very informal, and lots of times our meals are very irregular. I make a point of seeing that Mrs. Niles doesn't do a single extra bit of meal fixing she can help. So if you ever drop in on the Niles some weekend, you better bring along a husky appetite for sandwiches. We love them. Any kind. But a great favorite with the boys and myself is a ham egg burger. Ever tried one? Well, listen. They're so simple, I make them myself. I take hamburger buns, slice them in half, and toast them. Then I spread 2 tablespoons of canned deviled ham, a scrambled egg, and a couple of tablespoons of grated American cheese on each bun. I toast them in the broiler with a low heat until the cheese begins to melt. Yes, that's a ham egg burger. Honestly, it's just about a meal in itself.
Oh, maybe we top it off with a piece of cold apple pie right out of the refrigerator and a cup of coffee or two. That's all. So tonight, why don't you try a Niles special, a mouth-watering ham egg burger? Now, here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Miss Diana Lynn.
I guess we all dream about the perfect job we'll land someday. You know, good pay, easy hours, a perfect atmosphere to work in, an ideal boss. Well, I landed my dream job, only it turned out to be not a dream, but a nightmare of terror.
Stewart can currently be seen in the Universal International Technicolor production, Bend of the River. Tonight's transcribed story was written for Mr. Stewart by Frank Burt. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to be with us again next Sunday for the Bakers of America program, Hollywood Star Playhouse. Enjoy another half hour of fine entertainment brought to you direct from Hollywood by your baker. The baker in your bake shop, the baker who supplies your grocer, and the baker who calls at your door. All helping you serve better meals through bakery foods.
National Broadcasting Company.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast.